We're going to move right ahead and look at this real quickly. Go to the book of Philemon in the New Testament. And let me just share a couple thoughts with you along the lines of these prayer requests that we gave you tonight. And just encourage you in a couple of ways. And then we will go to prayer and close out with some announcements. Let you know about the funeral service for Vivian Zullo and so forth. And it doesn't hurt us to get done a little early tonight anyway. And I say that in anticipation of getting done. It'll probably be 9 o'clock before we leave, okay? So, and I am just teasing. All right, I'm just teasing about that. Philemon chapter 1 is the only chapter that's there. So, verse number 21, he wrote to Philemon, Paul did. He said, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. And we're not going to go into all the previous verses, even verse 21, but I want to draw your attention to verse 22. I think Dennis Corll preached from this passage when he was here either this past time or 2 years ago. He said, but withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. Through, you see those words, I trust through your prayers I shall be given unto you. And so I just want to talk to you tonight about this matter, these prayer requests I shared with you just a moment ago. Dear Father, bless these thoughts from your word, and I pray that God it will not just be something that we hear tonight. I pray, Lord, it's something that we will do and practice over these next several weeks and months, and that you'll please give us, Lord, the discipline to pray as we ought to. And again, Lord, pray that you'll bless these few thoughts from your word, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Paul was a man who had a disciplined prayer life. I could take you to several verses in the New Testament that are proof of that. He had a very disciplined prayer life. There are many places where he mentions praying for someone continually, praying for them on a consistent basis, as opposed to praying for somebody, you know, one time, God bless so-and-so. Just because you think of somebody's prayer need or prayer request, or because you think of their physical need or their spiritual need, that doesn't necessarily mean, folks, because we think of them that we're praying for them. Okay, there's a little bit of a difference there. And Paul, several places, he wrote to folks and he said, you know, it's obvious from his words that it was a consistent thing with the Apostle Paul. For instance, don't turn to these for sake of time. Romans chapter 1, verse number 9, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. That's not God bless so-and-so one time and done. Okay? In Ephesians 1:16, he said, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That's not a one and done. That's not, oh yes, dear Lord, I'm thinking about so-and-so. He said he ceased not. 1 Thessalonians 1:2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 3, he told Timothy that without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. I called my aunt and uncle today down in Georgia to wish them a Merry Christmas, and got to talk to my aunt first, then my uncle. I had to track him down on the cell phone, and he said, Terry said, pray for you and your family every day. Boy, that's a blessing when you hear something like that. And that's what Paul told Timothy. I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day without ceasing. That's more than one and done. That's more than, oh yes, dear Lord, bless so-and-so, and then we never remember to pray again. He's consistently praying for Timothy. In Philemon, in this book right here, look at verse number 4. He says, I thank my God making mention of thee always in my prayers. Now, folks, he's told a lot of people that he prays for them always. Okay, so obviously he has a very disciplined prayer life. And probably, this is speculation, but I think it's probably safe speculation, some type of prayer list. Or, you know, maybe Paul just had those people so much in his mind and heart that he didn't ever forget a name. But he told a lot of people here that he prayed for them and on a consistent and regular basis. So it's easy to see Paul made it a practice to pray for other people often, whatever their burdens were, whatever their needs were, Paul made those his own as he remembered to pray for them often. That's called intercessory praying. That's where you read in, I think it is 1 Timothy chapter 2, that first of all, intercessions, prayers, giving of thanks be made for all men. Intercession is a type of prayer. It is praying on behalf of someone else. When you pray for yourself, you pray for to have your needs met. You pray for the things that are burdening your heart. Nothing wrong with that. Ask God for what you need. He encourages us to do that. But that's not called intercessory praying. Okay? That's called praying. Intercessory praying is when you spend time praying for somebody else. You can intercede for your spouse. You can intercede for your children. Children can intercede for their parents. Friends can intercede for friends. And church family can intercede for church family. And this is what we're called to do. This is what we need to do for lots of folks in our church right now. It's this matter of intercessory praying. Whatever their burdens, whatever their needs are, they become ours. We try to get up underneath those burdens with our shoulders and in some way lift the load a little bit. And one of the best ways to do that, probably the best way to do that, is to spend some time on behalf of these people in intercessory prayer. Not tomorrow and then forget about it. But day after day after day of consistent praying for these folks who are facing these pretty huge physical situations. Now, Paul prayed for others. It's also easy to see that he depended on the prayers of others. From what he said in verse number 22, he said, "Prepare me also a lodging. Get me a place ready to stay. For I trust that through your prayers, I shall be given unto you." Now, you understand that when Paul wrote this letter to Philemon, he was a prisoner in Rome. Okay, so he's in jail. And he sends this epistle, we think, in the hands of Onesimus. Okay, Onesimus was Philemon's servant who left him basically without a 2-week notice and did him wrong. And maybe stole some things, we don't know, but he wronged Philemon, and he ended up in jail in Rome, and he ended up in the same prison, and probably the same cell as the Apostle Paul, and as Paul's normal course of life was, he witnessed to Onesimus about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul knew Philemon, so, what's your name? My name's Onesimus. Where are you from? Well, I'm from over there. And where? Well, what'd you do? Well, I was a servant for a man. And what was your master's name? Oh, his name was Onesimus. Onesimus? Philemon. I know Philemon. I know him. And come to find out, here he is, the servant of a man that he knew, and Paul won Onesimus to Jesus Christ in that jail cell. And then the Holy Spirit gives Paul the book of Philemon on some parchment paper or papyrus. And so he gives it to Onesimus, and Onesimus hand delivers this letter to Philemon. And Philemon's reading down through here about how Paul's asking him to forgive Onesimus, you know, and man, if he owes you anything, put that on my account and I'll reimburse you. He's talking about a beautiful picture of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then at the end he says, "Now look, get me a place ready because I want to come stay with you." And think about the fellowship Paul would have with Philemon and now Onesimus, born again, saved man. So he said, "I'm going to come stay with you, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you." Paul truly hoped to be released from prison and was hoping to lodge with Philemon. And Paul trusted that this would happen as a result of Philemon's prayers. So Paul was counting on Philemon. Paul was depending on Philemon. It's like Paul gave him this huge burden, this huge prayer burden, said, "Man, I'm counting on you to take this matter to the Lord and intercede for me about this. I'm counting on you. And I'm so counting on you that I really believe God's going to answer the prayers, give us the desires of our hearts, and prepare me a place of lodging, because I really believe God, through your prayers, is going to get this accomplished." Now, I believe the reason Paul believed that Philemon's prayers would work was because he'd seen his own prayers work. Paul had had answers to his prayers. And so here he is. He's depending upon this man to intercede for him. Paul's thinking, "Okay, how many folks have I interceded for? How many people for whom I prayed? And now I'm depending on you to do the same thing for me, Philemon. You intercede for me." Now, very often we have prayer needs that come up within the church family. Every prayer need is important. Okay? Some are more serious than others. Just because a prayer request is not serious does not mean it's not important. Every prayer burden is important. Okay? And I've said over and over again, don't take the time lightly on Wednesday night and just zip through these names, because when it's your spouse's name or your mother's name or your family or somebody, you're going to want the people of this church to shoulder that thing with you. Amen. Very often that we have needs that come up. There are some prayer needs that can be met by us praying once about it, maybe a couple of times. Sometimes people will say, just put it on the list for tonight. Just ask folks to heal my dad or heal my son or my friend. And, you know, it's just a matter of, hey, can you pray tonight just for this person? I appreciate that. And then there are those prayer matters that require us to do as Paul did and pray often and pray consistently. And I think we've been presented with some of those type things tonight. And I can't emphasize to us enough, church, how dependent. And Leslie has some saved family, and Delbert Kent has some saved family, and that's a great encouragement. And Bill's side of the family is saved, and Joyce's is not. And I can't tell you how I felt last night in visiting with them, that they are truly dependent and depending on this church to really shoulder this thing for them. And while we're doing that for Joyce, we might as well do it for Delbert Kent and for Leslie. You know, I don't know if Delbert lives 3 months or 11 months or 3 weeks or 11 weeks or 3 years. You don't either. With the chemo, I'm not even sure what kind of quality of life it'll be. You know that. So, because he's a sick, weak man. So we need to shoulder these things. I think these folks are dependent. And it takes discipline to be consistent in prayer for someone, which means if we're going to be consistent as we need to be, you need to have the name down somewhere. If you have a prayer list, put those names at the top of the list or put it somewhere where you remember on a consistent daily basis to pray for these people often. And by the way, it always helps to be disciplined in prayer when your heart is willing and wanting to enter into that burden with them. If your heart's in it, it's not hard to be disciplined. It's pretty safe to say that these people for whom Paul was consistently praying were on his heart before they were in his prayers. On his heart before they were in his prayers. There are many who are depending upon our prayers, trusting that the desires of their hearts will be fulfilled because we pray. Now let's not let them down. And it ought not be hard to place them in our prayers because they are people who should be on our hearts. Now, I know, you know, Delbert has not been to church a lot over the last several years, but his daughters, I mean, these are inner circle people, folks. These are people that we're with all the time. Okay? Our kids have grown up together. And Joy, how many young girls has Joy Smith been a blessing to? And a help to in all these years. 10 or 11 years now of working in our school through the PE and the volleyball. And a perfect combination of athleticism and feminism. Feminism? Not feminism. That's a wrong word, isn't it? ERA. Femininity. You know what I'm getting at. Okay. These are people that, and Brian and Leslie are newer to our church, but they fit right in. They're a fine couple, and you're not going to be around any longer than the Lacey's have been. So, and they're doing good. When your mother is in heaven and you know she's not suffering anymore, then that's a great peace of mind, and they know that, and they'll be fine. And they'll be fine. But some of these folks have some ongoing situations that are going to be in front of them for several weeks and or months. And surgeries and so forth. So we need to pray for them. Okay? And pray that God just takes care of it and gets it done. I appreciate the fact that they wanted to come and have it shared with the church. Because I really believe that's one of the reasons why God established a local church of born-again, baptized believers. You get in the book of Acts, chapter 2, they met together for prayers. For for fellowship, for prayers, so forth and so on. And some folks are far more reclusive as far as their prayer requests go. That's how it is. That's fine. You know, that's the way it is. But I like it when people are open and willing and can be and want the church to enter into prayer for them. And when they want it that way, when they want that, I think we need to be sure we fulfill that request. Y'all understand what I'm saying tonight? Okay. And I don't think it needs to be. I don't think you need to be morbid. You need to have great confidence in the Lord. And Bill and Joyce are doing good. They're doing very good. They've got God in their hearts. They know that, and they're doing good. Okay. And these other folks are too. And I want to say this, and we're going to go to prayer. What's been on my mind since Monday, when all these phone calls came? I was on the phone with somebody today, and the phone rang four times before I could hang up with the first person. I had to tell people I'll call you back, and it was just. I mean, you know, I had that call waiting four times before I could hang up with the first person. Not all of those were heavy calls, but a couple of them were. And this has been on my heart since Monday. If we ought to learn anything from this, life is too short, and health is too uncertain for there to be one day of conflict and adversity between a husband and wife, children and their parents, parents and their children, and even church members. Life's too short, folks. Life is too short. Health is too uncertain. You need to make every day count. Every day. Now, we're not going to do that because we're human, unfortunately. But we need to minimize the days of conflict. Minimize them. And dwell together in love. And I'm talking about in our marriage relationships, in our homes, kids. Life is too short and health is too uncertain for you to spend one day in rebellion to your parents. Y'all understand me? Okay? So let's learn some things. Let's learn some things here and here, and let's reach out and embrace those people that God has put around us as far as family and friends go. And let's not live angry and bitter and ugly to each other. That life is too short for that. Too short. And I see it, and other pastors see it at funeral homes. And I didn't see that. I didn't see that Monday when we were there. We were there Tuesday. I didn't see that Tuesday. What I saw Tuesday was a brother and a sister and a spouses that were just tearful but joyful and remembering great relationships. And that's how you want to live your life. That's how you want to live it. Amen. Y'all listening tonight? Amen. Y'all understand? Talking to you from my heart, okay? I knew this would be heavy news. I knew it would be heavy news. I'm glad they wanted to share it, and it's time for us to pray. And it's time for us to do what Paul did. It's time for us to be disciplined enough to be consistent about it in the weeks and months ahead for all these folks. Okay? Amen? Anybody else got a prayer request that should be put on the list tonight that you didn't turn in a moment ago? Anybody else? Grace? Dave and Gina, yes, they got some situation in their church over there that's not good for them, so we need to pray for them as well. All right, let's have prayer time. Don't go anywhere. I have a few announcements for you. So get with somebody. Let's make sure everybody has somebody to pray with tonight, and let's have prayer time.